I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Before I get to tonight's game, I wanted to talk about the Luka thing last night. I just have a hard time thinking of a worse trade ever. is there a worse trade ever, Chris?
I mean, I don't... You want to ask the ever questions, and I just don't have the list in my head of the all-time worst trades.
I know.
So, it's a very bad trade that happened very recently, and so it seems like the worst trade ever. I don't know, like Babe Ruth was kind of bad.
My theory was this, though.
That's a well-known one.
My theory is this. Babe Ruth, they knew what they were doing. Like, they traded him for money because they wanted to finance their Broadway show, right? Like, so, of course, right. It was a bad baseball trade. It wasn't really the point. It was to stage No No Nanette was the point. Here,
right?
Nico thought he was smarter than everybody else. Like, there's no. And if you're the Bucks and you trade Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to the Lakers, well, you had to. And there's lots of bad trades. I mean, hell, garden variety bad trade. Look at the Suns. You know,
That's the public story, and that might be the true story. I mean, I don't know. There are other theories out there that sort of cover for ownership stuff or whatever. I don't know. They were also looking at, like, a supermax for Luka and not believing in his, like, long-term, you know, health or whatever.
Right.
And so I don't know. Like, it's very bad, obviously. And it's, to me, compounded by – it's not just that they decided to hit the eject button on Luka. Is that their plan for what they were going to do instead of that was not a good plan.
Right.
It was to base a team on an older injury-prone Anthony Davis and an older, guys have injury histories who are older in Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving and, like, think they were going to be a title team in the next 2 years. And it was just, the front end was bad, the decision to trade Luka, and the idea of what your alternative path was even compounded the badness of it.
I guess I tend to believe, and who I don't know, of course, I tend to believe that they didn't want to give him a supermax because they didn't believe in him long term. I think that's probably that seems like the most plausible, or like at least a plausible explanation for it. It also seems totally crazy to me.
Right.
I don't know how you, and I literally don't know if you are a Mavs fan how you get over
even
this
on,
or when you do.
Even on a supermax, it would have to take a particularly bad turn for Luka to not have positive trade value if you wanted to get off of him after at some point after you do the deal, right?
Yeah. And so whatever, you can fire him, or you can fire Nico, or you could whatever. I literally don't know how you get over this unless, and I'm not wishing for it, something like Luka is bad. Like if Luka becomes bad for some reason or blows out a knee or something, then you probably lament it less. I guess if you quote unquote win a championship, but there's no prospect. And that's not coming around anytime soon.
There's no good answer to this. But what the Mavericks need to do from a basketball perspective, I think, is to just hit the detonation button and blow it all up and start over. And you can't. I guess you can't blow up the owner like the owner has to choose to do. They choose to sell the team. So, but short of that, I would like the whole thing. I would start over with. I'd trade Anthony Davis for whatever I could get. Does anyone want Klay Thompson? You know, you get new front office. Just say, we messed up. We're starting from scratch. We have Derek Lively. We've got Max Christie, and we're trading whatever we can for other draft picks, and we're starting over. And this is a great market, and we'll be able to rebuild it. To me, there's more hope in that than sticking with what you got.
I think the other part about the trade that I know it's not top of mind because we're just talking the basketball. But the other reason why this thing should be considered the worst trade ever is you completely killed your fan base.
Right. Yeah, I just don't understand how, in that scenario with Chris offers, which probably is the best one, you're still, for the next 15 years, looking wistfully over at Los Angeles. Like, you hate yourself. You hate your own team.
Yeah, but that's done. You can't undo that.
I know.
And so, it is what it is.
Should the Suns, by the way, are now formally out of playoff contention, and Kevin Durant did not play, so he is not going to hit 65 games. Was when you were doing your Jaren Jackson Jr., you believe he will be third team All-NBA most likely, although here, whatever. Where was Kevin Durant in your figurings there?
He was not. He was below Jaren in consideration, so okay. I don't think that's really a factor. Okay. Yeah.
Doesn't really. Should they also blow it up?
I think so, and I'm not generally Mr. Everything, you need to blow up everything all the time, because I believe in the value of just being good, but these teams aren't good. And so, and I don't see, as good as Devin Booker is, or was until very recently, it's hard to see a path at his age to turn it around enough to make it worth keeping him. And he's not like Dirk in Dallas. He's not like that revered figure in your franchise either. And so I think the best case scenario there, the best path there is probably to blow it up. But I just don't know if that owner has not had his come to Jesus yet about being willing to do stuff like that.
And I mean, speaking of bad trades, there's nothing quite as egregious, but they just had a very good team. 3 years ago, 64-18,
they were in the NBA Finals.
And they were in the NBA Finals, and they weren't. I mean, Chris Paul was old, but that's about all they had that was old. And so they turned.
Mikal Bridges, Cameron Johnson, DeAndre Ayton. And I know Ayton has sort of fallen off since then, but I don't know. If you had Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges, and Cameron Johnson, you could build a pretty good team off of that at this point, maybe.
So they traded four unprotected firsts and Bridges for Durant. And then, of course, they go and get Beal, which is a disaster, right? It's one thing after another.
The Beal thing is particularly egregious because you're just duplicating what you already have in Booker and Durant. That was not the right kind. That was just chasing a name. That was not the right kind of move. You know, your sort of final move to put the winning team around Booker and Durant was not trading for Bradley Beal.
There you go. All right, Grizzlies tonight. I had it wrong, by the way. I know you're locked into the gambling lines. I had the Grizzlies at one point that they were favored by a point. They're not. They're underdogs, 2.5. Jeffrey, is that what you is the last thing you saw? To the Timberwolves. What do you make of tonight's contest?
You know, I mean, I think it's a toss-up kind of game, definitely. The Grizzlies have just been so... It's sort of a weird thing with the Grizzlies where they've reached this point where you got the big three all healthy, and you've got Edie turning a corner and looking good, but then everything else has just gotten so shaky. The Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells losing both on, following, punting Marcus Smart and Jake LaRavia. You've taken a team that was really deep early in the season and you took four rotation level players away with basically nothing in return, and that makes the rest of the roster really shaky. And so, I mean, Minnesota's not deep either, but there are fewer individual player questions for them in terms of who they're putting in a rotation. And so there's a real question of, like, do the Grizzlies have enough support around, like, those four guys? And tonight will be a test of that.
Was it literally the last Timberwolves game that ended with Brandon Clark making the defensive play on the switch? Like,
I can't remember which one. I can't remember which one came first and which one came second. But the game where Ja hit the two crazy shots at the very end was the game in Minnesota, and I was there for that. And I think maybe they played in Memphis after that. But I think the game you're talking about was the same. I think the same game, even in Minnesota.
So is it Vince on? Like, how do they handle Anthony Edwards?
Well, I think Vince Williams will start. I'm going to assume he started the second half after Wells went out. I think that's the logical decision. I think he will get the opening assignment on Anthony Edwards. And I just think, based on your options and based on physical matchups, I think Lamar Stevens is a guy who probably should be in the rotation tonight and get a lot of time on Anthony Edwards. He is the strength for it, the strength and the length. Like, he is a good – I mean, he obviously he was not even in the NBA for most of the season, so from a player quality standpoint, he's marginal. But from a physical capability standpoint, he's probably the best physical matchup you have for Anthony Edwards.
You told a nice story about in the column you did, Jalen Wells – and the Timberwolves involved were this story. Tell the people. They can read your column, but tell the people about this interaction in the locker room with Jalen Wells.
This is from that same game, and I just stuck it in my back pocket and figured, like, you know, this was all on the record, but I'm not going to use it tonight. It's the kind of thing that people could take the wrong way. I try to present it in a way that people would not take it the wrong way.
Right.
But I just sort of stuck it in my back pocket, figured at some point in the season I would pull it out, and this was sort of the last chance for that. So before the game, one of the things I've been looking at with Jalen Wells is, because there was a lot of talk about what he'd done defensively at that point in the season, like shutting down or hounding all of these top scorers. And I'd gone deeper into the matchups, and what I had seen was he was having more success scaling down against the littler guards, and he was struggling more against the more physical guys, which, you know, as a rookie sort of makes sense. And I asked Taylor Jenkins about that before the game, and I was surprised at how much Taylor Jenkins sort of picked up what I was putting down. I basically confirmed that and said, yeah, like he without even me really leading the question, said, yeah, you know, he's done better against these smaller guards. The physical guys have been a little bit of a more of a challenge, I probably is what Taylor Jenkins said, not a struggle. But tonight will be a good test for him. And then he goes to the game, and, you know, plays a great game defensively against Anthony Edwards. Edwards has sort of a subpar night. And then in the locker room afterward, I just asked him about, you know, what was it like guarding, you know, a more physical guy like Anthony Edwards? This is Jalen Wells. And he says, yeah, you know, he's probably the strongest guy I've guarded this season. And Desmond Bane, who was sitting two seats over, looked up at him, sort of raised his eyebrows and said, hey, didn't you guard LeBron? and then Wells, like, just not even really thinking about it, not trying to be brash or anything, just matter of fact says, yeah, but he's not as athletic. He's slower. And then Jake LaRavia was standing up next to Jalen Wells, and I noticed Jake and Des looked at each other and sort of raised their eyebrows and tried not to laugh, like, oh, listen to this rookie. He's getting in trouble now. And, like, Wells picked up on that vibe from them and just said, like, well, he is, right? Right? You know, he was just talking about the characteristics of basketball players.
Right,
he was not swayed by their reputations.
This was not a Dylan Brooks, let's kick LeBron.
He was not trying to poke the bear.
He was not trying to poke the bear. God, I miss him already. it is really staggering. You miss these two, you're two of your very best defensive players here now as you head into the playoffs. So we will.
Well, again, on top of the smart LaRavia, who were, like, for all the problems of Marcus Smart in terms of health and offense, which were both big problems, he was still good defensively. And so, there's a lot of defensive talent was sucked out of the roster for different times and different ways.
LaRavia would be very helpful tonight. Let's be clear. So, all right. So you said yesterday when we talked about this, as we were looking at the other teams that would be playing, you said, you know, there's four games. One of them's going to lose. And sure enough.
And they did.
And one did.
Not the one I expected. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you feel about how'd you feel about that one being the one? It was San Antonio beating the Warriors. Harrison Barnes, it was a night for revenge last night. Traded players. Harrison Barnes hits the three-pointer and lifts San Antonio over the Warriors.
I thought that was maybe the least likely. I mean, maybe Houston also, since they were in LA and they were sitting all their guys. But, like, I certainly thought the Nuggets one was more likely, or even, maybe even the Lakers than that.
Right.
But Grizzlies will take it. It's all such a muddle that it's obviously that loss helps the Grizzlies, but it's not crystal clear, like, how much, like, how it helps and how much. It's still a total muddle. And the Grizzlies just got to, like, focus on winning their own games, and then the rest will sort of take care of itself. There's also a thing where there's, like, two different tracks here. There's where the Grizzlies are going to finish, and then there's who the Grizzlies are going to face, you know, based upon where they finish. And, like, those are two different things. And so it's pretty complicated in terms of what you want. So you should just make it easy and just, like, you know, try to win.
So let's take that. Are the Lakers looking likely for sixth at this point? Even, yeah, the Lakers are looking likely for third, I'm sorry. So if you're sixth,
for third, yeah.
if you're sixth, you're going to get the Lakers. If you're fifth, you're going to get, we don't know. It depends.
I mean, the Clippers are looking pretty good right now.
Right, it could be the Clippers.
The Clippers are looking pretty good right now. The Clippers could get up to third. The Clippers is the matchup I like the least. Not only for the Grizzlies, but just generally. I did some research I was going to write about this week, and then the Taylor Wells injury sort of scuttled that because it made the Grizzlies portion of it irrelevant. But I've been looking at you can look at the net ratings, like, you know, the performance full season for teams. But then if you look at only for the projected playoff rotations, and so you're not using Anthony Davis minutes for the Lakers, and you're not using, you know, whatever, right? You only look at who's going to play in the playoffs. The number one net rating using projected playoff rotations in the West is not Oklahoma City. They're second. Number one is the Clippers.
Wow.
I think the Clippers are, again, can Kawhi Leonard be healthy for three full playoff series? That's a question. But if that team, if the team they're putting on the floor over the last month stays on the floor throughout the playoffs, I'd still pick Oklahoma City to win the West. But I think the next best team is probably the Clippers.
There's also nothing fun about it. You know, the Lakers and Warriors are at least high profile, glamour, fun. We sort of have something going with you're not going to end up playing Minnesota, but there's something going with Minnesota, and you can talk yourself into the fact you could beat Minnesota. Denver would be new, but also the greatest player in the world. Like, it would, that's something fun about that. And they also look slightly vulnerable. They fired their coach. You got you had a matchup of the two fired coaches franchises. That would be sort of fun. Yeah. There's nothing fun about the Clippers.
No, that's the one I want the least for all. You go and travel in it too, like, if I end up traveling, like for in every possible way, that's the matchup I want the least, which means that's the one that we're probably going to get.
Yeah. Okay. Last thing. I was listening to the show that comes on before mine. We played this earlier. They were talking about the Ja grenade thing, which you wrote about yesterday. I'll let people read what you had to say about
apparently it. Apparently Ja had an alternate explanation for it. So,
oh,
whatever.
What was his alternate?
It was a water balloon.
No, it was like I'm taking worry. Wasn't pulling a plug on the piano on the grave. He was pulling words out of his mouth. He was throwing the words away, and he was not listening to people's responses. Which to me, like, that kind of works too.
That's creative as well. Yes.
I say prove him wrong.
Right. Prove him wrong. That's a grenade. Right. Exactly. But apart from that, they were on. This is the kind of thing you hear a lot. The Grizzlies need, and it was Chris Canty, who's a former football player, who's on the show before mine, and he said they need a fire breather to be the head coach next year, someone who will hold Ja accountable, and that's, you hear that a lot, like some version of that a lot. What do you make of what you need as the next coach for the Grizzlies and Ja Morant in particular?
Well, to me, it's a very important question, and to me, it's a real mystery box of, like, what kind of personality is going to get the best out of Ja Morant. I mean, my instinct tends to be that they've probably coddled Ja too much over the years, and probably a little bit more discipline might be good. There's also risk in that, and so I mean, I'm not there internally enough to, like,
right,
declare what the answer is, but. But I think it's a very, very important question, and one that, like, the organization needs to take very seriously. But I don't know what the answer is. I think it's a valid question, but yeah. I can't pretend to have the answer.
And to the extent you would want someone who would, You don't just someone who's going to lay down the law, because you want someone who would connect with Josh such that when they do lay down the law, they want to be on the right side of the law, right? I mean, that's the
point. Right.
Anyone
that's
can come in and set up arbitrary rules and get mad if you violate them. The other assumption is that, and I'm not saying, I'm not weighing in on this one way or another, that Tomas Isolo is not a, I have no idea. Just because he's Finnish doesn't mean European, doesn't mean he's not, you know, a hold accountable guy. I don't know him either, really, from that perspective. He doesn't come from the mean streets, so he's not, you know, he's not going to relate to him the way Derrick Rose did, pretty clearly. But, you know, I think we make assumptions about how people might coach. Go ahead. Anyway, thoughts on all that?
I don't know. I felt like Jenkins felt a little bit too cowed by Ja, at least publicly. And that's sort of what I don't want.
Right.
Like, I don't know if you have to, if you need a Lionel Hollins. Like, this is a quote from Lionel Hollins. It's not me characterizing Lionel. It's him characterizing himself. I don't know if you need to, like, I'll put a boot in their ass.
Right.
So immediately, you know, Lionel said that. Like, that. How do you manage Zach Randolph? I'll put a boot in his ass. Like Lionel said that. So I don't know if that's what you need. But also, I don't think you necessarily need, like, a coach, you know, doing dances with John on the sideline either. And so, I don't know. I don't know the answer, but it is right. A very important question and one the organization needs to tackle.
It's also a little different to put a boot in Zach's ass than Ja's ass, because their stature, where they are in their careers, when they got here, all of that. You know, Zach had kicked around from team to team to team to team. Ja, if you put the wrong boot in his ass, like, whatever, and he suddenly wants to be in Orlando, that doesn't help. So
right. Well, this is why it's such a complicated thing. You want to manage Ja correctly to get the best out of him, and part of doing that is having him on your team and having him continue to be on your team, right? And so it's a delicate proposition, but, like, you know, that's why Zach Kleiman and his staff get paid the big bucks, and Robert Pera has the big bucks, and that's something for them to entertain.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Drive safe. Appreciate it. Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. expresspros.com.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.